Let's go, if you will, please, to Matthew chapter number 15. Matthew chapter number 15. I just gave you those verses right there, kind of as an onslaught for the thought that we're going to have today out of the book of 1 John. But this is going to be our main text, Matthew chapter number 15. I want to look at some people that came to Jesus Christ. I want us to look today at some people that Jesus delivered from the purpose of Satan. I want to look at some people's lives that Jesus literally delivered out of the hands of the enemy. And he overcame and he destroyed the works of Satan in their life. I want to look at some of these people. But while we look at some of these people, I want to look at some of the hindrances in their life that kept God from working in their life. There's some hindrances there. I want you to notice in every case that we mention today, there's going to be some hindrances to these people getting to where God wants them, or God needs them, or God doing a work in their life. There's hindrances. Almost every account, there's a hindrance to other people. Almost every account in the Bible that Jesus delivered from the hands of Satan, there was other people that was hindering them from getting to God. Almost every case, there's people getting in the way and being a hindrance to somebody getting to Jesus. The thing that I've noticed about every case is that no matter how difficult the case was, no matter how difficult it was for them to get there, they were not letting anything or anybody keep them from satisfying the longing of their soul. Amen. I mean, every one of these people had hindrances in their life. Every one of them had roadblocks between them and Jesus. But no matter how hard it got, every one of them that I mentioned didn't let nothing stop them from getting to God. Not a thing. Nothing or nobody. That's right. There is a crowd that stops short. There is. There is a crowd that stops short from getting to God. And it seems that they're always blaming other people. Is that right? Sure, buddy. I'm telling you, we've seen it time and time again. I mean, they need God in a big way, a big, big way. But it seems like somebody can put a roadblock or be a hindrance and they get offended or get mad and they turn and walk away. Can I let you in on a little secret today? You want to know why people get offended at the roadblocks that's in between them and God? You want to know why people want to play the blame game? You want to know why people leave church and go, man, I'm not going back down there. Did you hear what she said to me? Did you see what he did? You want to know why people do that? Listen real good. Because God never has pulled them to the side and jerked the covers off and turned the lights on and let them see down in the wickedness of their heart and let them see what they really are on the inside, because I can promise you I'm the God. If God ever does show you and let you see what you really are, you won't worry about what nobody else said. It won't be about what anybody else done. It'll be this, like Isaiah said, woe is me. I don't care what people say, they can't say it bad enough. I don't care what people do, they can't do it bad enough. I'm telling you, boy, when God showed me, I wasn't worried about what you did or what the church said, but it was between me and God. And I knew the condition of my heart. I knew that I needed God. I knew that I was wretched and vile and undone without God. But I didn't care what people said. I didn't need nobody to stand up in an altar, at an altar, and beg me to come down. I wasn't worried about people offending me. But when I saw myself as God did, it offended myself. Man, I become ashamed. I was guilty of what God showed me. I wasn't worried about what this world said. And I'm telling you, if people ever do get to see themselves as God sees them, I won't worry about what somebody else says about them. I promise you, what God shows me about me is a lot worse than what anybody else can conjure up in their mind. Amen. So I know me better than anybody in the world knows me. Me and God knows. And I'm telling you, it don't matter what people says. God knows the truth. And His truth is usually pretty ugly on my life. Amen. Sure. Well, when you see yourself as Him, you'll just have to confess, woe is me, for I'm undone. That's right. man said something to me that was offensive. Lord God, man, ain't nowhere near as offensive as I am to God. That's right. All right. Matthew 15, verse number 21 says this. I love this passage. Let's slow down and get it this morning. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. She said, my daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word. You tell this crowd that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, that this woman called on the name of the Lord, and he wouldn't even pay her any attention. Amen, son, I'm telling you. He said, but he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. Lord, shoo her. Get her out of here. You reckon they was in her way? You reckon they was a hindrance? Then, but he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Came she and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Here's a Gentile woman that, according to the book of Luke, had heard about the Lord Jesus Christ. And that tells me that, first of all, somebody in her neighborhood must have been talking about Jesus, right? I mean, for her to hear about it, somebody, whether it was a preacher or a girlfriend or just a neighbor or somebody on the street, somebody was talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Somewhere along the lines in this life, she heard something good about Jesus Christ. Amen. If you're sitting here today, the reason you got saved is simply because somebody told you about Jesus. That's right. Somebody told me about Jesus. Somebody told you about the Lord Jesus. And I thank God for touching other people so that they can share with me what God did for them. I'm glad God's touched other people. I like these testimonial services. I love to hear people stand up and tell how God saved them out of religion. Amen. I mean, boy, you're talking about a miracle. You take an old goody two shoes and let God jerk the covers off and show that goody two shoes what a rotten person they are on the inside, that they would sell their own brother out for a piece of meat, that there's murder and every wicked thing in their heart. I'm telling you, bud, you let somebody stand up that's been delivered from a life of goody-goody two-shoeness, I'm telling you, that's a blessing to me. Amen. You let somebody stand up from the gutters of a drug addiction and tell how God brought them up out of that horrible pit, or somebody got brought up out of drunkenness, or somebody got brought up out of sexual immorality. I'm telling you, it's a blessing to hear these testimonies. And boy, when you hear that, thank God, there's something, that living Christ that he was talking about, that living Christ that preacher was talking about, Jesus Christ is the Amen. Hey, he is the Amen. And when you hear that Bible truth, ladies and gentlemen, that living Christ on the inside of you bears witness with the truth that's coming out of that blessed book. And the living Christ on the inside of you gets up and says, Amen. That's truth. So be it. That's right. Amen, son. Thank God for them testimonies. I'm glad, thank God, that I heard about Jesus. I'm glad Jesus Christ has touched other people's lives so that he can touch mine. I love it. I love to hear what Jesus said. Faith cometh by hearing, ladies and gentlemen.
Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing comes from the word of God. How shall they hear without a preacher? In one context of that word preacher is a proclaimer of the truth, who in the name of God that's been saved by the grace of God can't proclaim what Jesus has done for. I mean, we all ought to be telling people about the Lord Jesus. There's always somebody in our life, in our path that God's put there that we can tell them what Jesus has done for us. How shall they hear? You need to proclaim it. You need to tell it. God's done something for you, then you're to proclaim it. This is what happened in this lady's life. This is why this lady ever came to Jesus. Somebody proclaimed Christ into her life. And boy, when Jesus passed by, she wanted to be out there with him. She heard about Jesus and it moved her to God. I want you to notice, though, the hindrances of her getting to him. There's a bunch of them in that passage. First of all, she calls on him and she refers to him as master, and he won't even answer. That's a pretty good roadblock. I mean, there's a lot of times people give it a shot or two at calling on the Lord Jesus, and but they just go on about their merry way. I'm telling you, a lot of times in our prayer life, if God don't answer us right away, man, we just give up. I'm telling you, they ought to be a burden in our heart. Boy, they ought to be some lost people burning in our heart. I sat over there in Sunday school this morning and thought about some lost people in my life. And I said, God, would you give me more of a burden for them? I mean, we ought to be on our face begging God. If God don't answer right away, if it takes 20 years, we're to just stay with it for 20 years. Amen. A lot of times God don't answer. Folks just give up. They give in. They give out. I'm just saying, man, we ought to stay with God. Hey, don't let God's answers be a hindrance. Don't let God's patience, don't let God's time, that I should say, don't let that be a hindrance to you. Just keep on, keep it on. Most people, that'd be enough. But hold on, after he ignores her, then the disciples show up. I mean, here's the church crowd. After Jesus won't give her no knowledge or acknowledge her at all, the church crowd shows up and says, Lord, get rid of her. Send her on. She's crying after us now, Lord. Get rid of her. Could you imagine coming down to church needing to get a hold of God and the church crowd look and say, God, get them out of here. Lord, send them on. They're just bothering us. Lord, we don't want them. I'm telling you, most people would pack up and leave. This woman's got more tenacity than most people that I've ever known. I mean, but the very disciples of Jesus, I mean, the people he rubbed elbows with every day, they come up and say, Lord, get her out of here. But she didn't give a flip. You understand, somewhere along the way, she had done seen herself as God saw her, and what they had to say didn't affect her in any way. Yeah. One purpose, buddy, getting to him. She don't care what y'all say. I don't care if y'all accept me. I don't care if he ain't answering me. I'm staying with this, but I got a need in my life. I need to get to him. I need to hear from him. I need his help. I'm not going to let you get in my way. Can you imagine hearing about Jesus and wanting to get saved? And you show up at church and you cannot get God to help you. Can you imagine? Showing up at the house of God, wanting God. Showing up going, man, I want God and God won't help. Imagine that. Can you imagine going beyond that to church folks? All just want you to leave and not be part of the church. They just want you out of there. You can say the least little thing to people anymore, but they're ready to pack up and be gone. I mean, man, they were just honest and rude about it. God, get her out of here. Didn't bother her none. I want you to look at what she did next. She didn't pout. I like it, buddy. She come to church. She come to Jesus. He wouldn't pay her any attention. The church crowd said, get rid of her. Look at verse number 25. This is the very next thing that she did. Bible said, then she came and worshiped him. Amen. Boy, every once in a while, that's what we ought to just do. I had a guy tell me this week, man, I can't hear God. I can't feel like I can't feel God. It seems like I'm just out here all alone. Can you imagine this little old gal, bud? Here she was by herself, couldn't get an answer from God. The church done run her off. And the Bible said that she worshiped the Lord. I'm telling you, once in a while, what we ought to do is just take time to adore Him for who He is. There's been times in my life, church, where I've experienced the same thing, and I've just sat down and tried to magnify the Lord and brag on Him and tell Him how wonderful and beautiful and great He is, and just watch God do wonders in our life and bless us. She didn't play the blame game. The Bible says that she came and worshiped Him. And then she cries out for His help. She said, Lord, help me. I want you to look at his response in verse number 26. My goodness, man. Verse number 26, he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. You know what Jesus did to this guy after she began to worship Him? He looked at her and said, girl, you ain't nothing but an old dog. He said, you just a dog. He didn't say nothing nice. He wasn't politically correct. He didn't give her the answer that we probably thought. He looked at her and said, look, it's not meet for me to give the bread to dogs. You ain't nothing but a dog. She said, true, Lord. She said, you're exactly right. She said, I'm not good for anything. She said, I'm just an old dead dog. She said, but I'll promise you one thing. Even the dogs get to eat the crumbs from the master's table. Like, amen, son. Oh, I like it because I know where I'm going. She wasn't an American, buddy. She didn't brat up on Him. I'm telling you, the average American would have bratted up. She didn't pack her up and say, I can't believe they treated me like that down there. I'm just going to go join the First Church of Babel and we're just going to do our own thing. No, sir, buddy. She just said, help, Lord, help me, and stayed with Him. She said, Lord, I know I'm a dog. You've done jerked the covers off in my life long, long ago. Saying I'm a dog's a nice word. That's putting it mildly, Jesus. She said, but I'm telling you, even the dogs get to eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Amen. I say, you will never get what you need from God till you see exactly what you are. She knew she was an old dog. She knew she is a Gentile dog. Amen. Amen. When you get to the place where you see yourself as an old dog, you're in a good place to get God's help. Amen. When you come to the knowledge of, man, I'm just an old dog, son, God ain't far from helping you. I believe it. We're living in a day when the preacher can tell the truth about you and people get mad and offended and storm out and ultimately will die and go to hell. Folks, if you cannot see yourself as an old dog, by the way, I was thinking about this text here. I was thinking about a dead dog. There's nothing attractive about a dead dog. A dead dog can't fetch a ball for you. He can't do any tricks. He can't give you howdy. I mean, he can't really bring any kind of joy or smile to your heart. I mean, they're just absolutely good for nothing. About the only thing they can do is lay around and rot and stink and swell up and just fester and cause problems and be an ugly situation before it's all said. About all a dead dog's good for. Amen. But I'll promise you one thing. If we realize what we are, we're in a good place to get help from God. She said, Lord, I am a dog. But even the dogs get to eat the crumbs from the master's table. Let me ask you a question. This is why I got so excited when I got to say that. Do you know what them crumbs were made out of? You know what they took and made the crumbs out of that fell from the master's table? The same thing that the full course meal was made out of. The same thing that the loaf was made out of. It wasn't nothing less. It wasn't nothing less or nothing more. It was the same thing. Man, the big shots got to sit at the table and eat the loaf. I'm telling you, the same thing that they were eating, even the dogs got to eat. God said, I tell you what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to let you eat like the kings do. It may be a crumb, but it's the same thing that everybody else is getting. I'm telling you what, this same Jesus, thank God. It don't matter whether you own this side or that side or black or white or purple. dirty or ugly. I'm telling you, still the same Jesus. It's all about Him, amen. It don't matter whether you get in the loaf or whether you get in the crumb. When it's all said and done, it comes down to just Jesus, amen. Just Jesus, amen. Thank God. Jesus said, you know what, girl? You're exactly right. He said, you may not get to sit at the table and have the full course, but you get the same protein. You get the same minerals. You get the same sustenance that everybody else gets. Amen. Son, I'm telling you, God's good from the uttermost to the guttermost. She did not care, I'm telling you. She did not care how she got to Him. Just as long as she got to Him. She didn't care if it was a crumb or a loaf. I'm telling you, she didn't pick and choose. She said, if I could just get the crumbs from your table, Lord, I'd be most happy. Amen. You know what this sounds like to me? I'm talking about them crumbs. You know what this sounds like to me? It sounds like another woman that I read about had an issue of blood one day. Boy, and she done spent all that she had, and the doctors couldn't help her, but only she got worse, and she shouldn't even have been in the crowd. According to the law, she should have been stoned for even being in the presence of God. But I'm telling you, there was a crowd thrown in Jesus one day, and I guarantee you, buddy, in her heart, she probably said, you know what, I can't get the loaf, but if I can pass my way to that crowd, I bet I can get a crumb. I'm telling you, she reached over and touched the hem of that garment, and the virtue left his body. She may not have got to put her arms around him. He may not have spit in her eyes, but she got a crumb from the master's table, and it made everything all right in her life. Amen. Oh, God help us. There was a man over there that got a loaf one day. His name was Lazarus. That's pretty good, wasn't it? That's born a crumb. Lit of our dead in his grave. And Jesus walked up and said, Lazarus, come forth. Looked him old grave clothes and said, loose him and let him go. Pretty good. She didn't have to have all that. Now, there was a blind man over in John chapter 9. When Jesus passed by, the old boy was blind from his birth. When Jesus passed by, he healed him. I'm saying he got the full deal, buddy. I'm telling you, but this little gal, she said, I don't have to have all that. She said, if I could just get one touch, Lord, I believe everything in my life would be better. Amen. Amen. Something I noticed here in the text is that this woman had a genuine burden for somebody else. She didn't come to Jesus so much for herself. She came to Jesus for her daughter. That's right, but she had a burden for her daughter. Her daughter was in a bad way, and she needed God to help her daughter. And she didn't care what anybody else said, and she wasn't going to let a simple no stop her, and she wasn't going to let the church run her off. But I'm going to tell you what she did. She seen a need, and she had a great need, and she had a burden, and she just took it to the Lord and worshiped Him. Amen. Y'all remember that little old widow woman? It just wouldn't quit. She just wouldn't quit until the king avenged of her adversaries. Amen. I believe one of the hindrances folks get to God is that the folks that claim to know Him have no burden for others. I believe that if people's going to get to God, that the people that claim to know God needs to have more of a burden today. Sure. And instead of just kind of going through life nonchalantly and all self-centered, I'm telling you, we need to have a burden. Amen. I wonder if I was to go around the building today and ask for a number of hours that you begged God to help with your children. How many hours this week you begged God to help with your children that's lost? How many hours did you spend before God begging Him? No matter what the answer might have been, no matter if it was an answer, how many hours did you spend before the throne of grace begging God for your lost loved ones, for your neighbors, for the people on the job? Do you have a burden? Do we care? There's people that's dying and going to hell. Hell is real. Heaven is real. Jesus is real. The devil's real. It really is real. And it seems like we live a long life and it loses realness in us. It loses reality to us. But I'm telling you, bud, there's people dying and going to hell, and they're roasting there today as we sit in here and enjoy this, and we claim to love God, and we sing the songs of Zion, and yet won't even walk across the street. Won't walk across a restaurant to give somebody a gospel tract, or just to tell them about something Jesus has done for us. God help us to have a burden. I mean, this gal had a burden, friend. She had a lot of hindrances in the way. And I mean, there's a lot of people didn't want her there. And there's a lot of reasons for her to throw the towel in. But thank God she stayed after it. Amen. I wonder if we was to be honest, if we would be ashamed of our answer. I would. I'd be ashamed to tell you the least, the lack, the slack of my burden. I'd be ashamed for you to know how much I don't care. I wonder if you're lost here today, what your answer would be if you were asked, how many hours did you spend seeking God for your soul? How many hours did you seek God this week? God, I'm going to hell. God, I'm your enemy. God, there's sin in my life. Lord, would you help me? Whoa, how many hours did you spend? Are you serious about God? If you knew you was going to die and go to hell in the morning, what would you do? I'm not just trying to put hell on you. I'm telling you, son, there's sin in your life and there's sin in people's life. But it's vexed God, and it's absolutely just putrefying to God. And we ought to want to please Him. We ought to want to satisfy Him. We ought to want to make Him happy. We ought to want to be His friend. And we ought to want to abolish the sin in our life and live holy. Right. Let me tell you something. When I got saved, I told Zach and him on the way down the road this week, when I got saved, ladies and gentlemen, the first time I made a profession, I was worried to death about going to hell. And I was worried to death about having a time and a place, and all I wanted to do was make sure I wasn't going to hell. And I had me a time and I had me a place. And boy, when I knelt down and prayed, I was worried about 10 minutes to 11. July 6, 1981, I had X the floor. That X marks the spot. And boy, I wasn't going to hell. I wasn't going to hell. I'm telling you, I got up and never did. I had me a time and had me a place, but I never did pass from death unto life. Never did.
Yes.
I did all that, but I wrote it all down, but never did God write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Up to that point, I'd been a pretty decent kid. I really got into sin after I made my profession. I went backwards. Right.
I've
been a pretty good kid. I mean, just mean as a snake, busting windows out and shooting people. You know, things like that. But I'm talking about getting into that old sin business. Never did really get into all that stupidity till after I made my profession. Ain't God good? God saved me and put me into fornication. Ain't he a blessing? I'll tell you something, when you get saved, you quit fornicating.
Yeah, you do.
When you get saved, you nip that. God will take that stuff from you. God don't give you drunkenness, and He don't give you dopeness, and He don't give you fornication, and He don't give you gambling and a wicked lifestyle, but He gives you holiness and purity and clean minds. Amen. Your clean mind. Steve, that night I got saved. I'm sure hell was in the picture. Hell's always the end of the transgressor. But the night I got saved, I was concerned about my sin against God. I realized that I was a sinner. You hear me? I realized that I'd violated the laws of God. I realized that I'd transgressed and trespassed. I realized that I'd spit in the face of God's baby boy. I realized that I was lost without God. And I was filthy, vile, wretched. And my life was a wreck. And I needed a Savior. Amen. I said, God, would you take the mess that I've made and do something with it? Have mercy on me. I don't know all the little sinner's prayer. I didn't pray all that, but I prayed out of my heart and asked God to have mercy on me. But I promise you, from that time, I've made mistakes and I've messed up and I've sinned. But I ain't never been able to have a lifestyle of sin. I ain't never been able to enjoy sin. I ain't never been able to sin and get by with it. He chastens who He loves. He chastens who He loves. And if you live in sin and God don't beat you, you're a bastard and not a son. That's right, if you can get by with it.
I'm sure some folks in here could give some respectful answers. I'm sure people could give respectful answers. How many hours have you spent? How hard have you sought after God? How diligently have you went after this thing? I'm sure there's some respectable answers. But there's some, Zach, that couldn't care less. There's some that's on their way to hell that probably ain't spent 5 minutes in the Word seeking after God. It's real, ladies and gentlemen. And I want God to jerk the covers off and to shake you up and let you see just how real it is and the need of your soul. I've spent far more time on the computer or the TV or the phone many days than I have praying for others.
Right.
I've spent more time talking to others that will never amount to about things that will never amount to a hill of beans. Just doing that. When the Lord be doing that. Be still and know that He's God. Spend some time at His feet. We need to talk and tell God the needs of our souls. And well, I like the way old Job did it. He prayed for his boys. He prayed for his boys. I like that. Number two is in Mark chapter 9, verse 20. Matthew, Mark, I'll hurry. Matthew, Mark. And they brought him unto him, and when he had saw him, straightway the spirit tear him. And he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? Little boy was full of the devil. That devil's possessed him. And he said, of a child. He said, ever since he was a child. And oftentimes it have cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. And he was as one dead, inasmuch that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand, amen, and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into his house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Here's a man that brought his son to the disciples. Asked the disciples to help this boy with these unclean spirits. And told him, said, man, he's going to destroy my son. May I remind you, that's what he wants to do with you and I. The devil wants to destroy us. I said he came not but for to steal, kill, and to destroy. He tried to in my life. I mean, just stop. I don't have to entertain you. I don't want to entertain nobody. But I want you to stop and just take time this morning. Just slow down for a second. I want you to think about the works of Satan in your life. There's people in this congregation, I mean, dear God, man, it'd give you nightmares to think about some of the things, some of the ways that Satan had with you. And I can see this daddy coming to these church people going, hey man, I need some help. I mean, my boy's in a bad way. These devils is trying to destroy him. And many times they took and throwed him into a fire. They threw him into the waters. They've done everything in the world to destroy my son. Can y'all help? They couldn't help. I think about the times the devils throwed me into the fire. Remember the times the devils tried to throw you in the fire? Hey, I can tell you right now, the devil's trying to take some of you there. I can promise you that. You remember the times he's trying to destroy your life? I'm a married man, got 3 children that's grown by this time. But I promise you, I can see time after time again, Mama, where the devil tried to destroy my home. Yeah. He tried to destroy my marriage. He tried to destroy our relationship. He wanted to destroy my children. Do you hear me? There's been many a time, Zach, and you know as good as I do, God's visited us and God's blessed us. And before the sun's even went down, I'm telling you, we've had attacks from the spirit world, friend, that only God can overcome. This little boy, this young man, he was, ever since he was a boy, them devils was attacking him. I'm telling you, but I see it. Boy, I think about people's lives and I see how the devil's trying to destroy lives. We go down these lines. Think about how the devil's trying to destroy your life. Think about it.
Yeah.
Think about that sorry sucker trying to destroy your life. Think about the times where he's invited stuff and brought stuff into your path and opened doors for you to walk in. And if you'd have just walked in, he could have absolutely destroyed you. I don't want to be too personal and I don't want to say the wrong thing. I want to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit of God. I really do. But I promise you, bud, I could have went the wrong way just as easy as I went the right way, probably easier. I mean, I had a daddy that promoted it. Zach, I had a daddy that promoted fornication and adultery. I had a daddy that promoted alcohol. I'll never forget the day my daddy looked at me in my eyes and said, son, you know, he might get you a good pot. I'd hook him up. I mean, that's my daddy. Well, my daddy should have been taking a belt, maybe beating the blood out of me for even thinking about smoking pot and hooking somebody up with. No, he's telling me he could hook me up. I mean, I had an avenue to go, son. I mean, you know, he wanted to go out and gallivant around 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. We would go down there to Hyde House in Winston-Salem and knock on doors and look for women to be with the rest of the night. And I'm just saying, the devil opened up doors to destroy our lives. I'm just telling you a little bit about me. The devil's opened up avenues. There's things that he's brought in our life, but I'm glad. Thank God there's a God in heaven. Amen. Might not have been so interested in my daddy, but he sure was interested in his offspring. You hear me? I don't know if that come out right or not, but I'm telling you, I thank God that he didn't let me go in that way. I'm glad that his grace and his mercy saw fit to bring me out. Amen. I'm glad. He sure was interested in me. I know it's not his will that any should perish, but all might come to repentance. I know that. The devil's trying to destroy this boy. The devil's trying to destroy y'all. I'm telling you something. You may not realize it. You may think that, you know, everything. But I'm telling you, that back there somewhere behind the scenes, that sucker's plotting. He's planning. He's planning his next move, his idea. He's waiting for you to just have a crack where he can slip in. Sure. He don't even have to have a crack, friend. He'll set some roadblocks up in your life so that you'll fall and crack.
Yeah.
Sure, he'll crack you. Outside of Jesus Christ, I'm telling you, there's no hope. We just got to have God. I'm glad, thank God, the Bible says, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I'm telling you, there's still snares and traps and many dangerous toils and snares, huh? There's still many fiery darts. There's still many traps and snares along the way. And I'm telling you, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. So, what's this? The text says that the unclean spirit has oftentimes cast this boy in the fire. It says that he's oftentimes cast him in the water. But the boy wasn't dead. How'd he get thrown in the fire and how'd he get thrown in the water all them times? I mean, from the time he was a child and he still ain't dead. I think because maybe his dad or his mom was around. I think maybe because when the devils threw him in the fire, maybe mom or dad was there, the Bible don't really say. But maybe his mom or dad was there to reach in there and pull him out of the trouble. Maybe when they threw him in the water and he couldn't swim, maybe dad was there to reach down with that hand of mercy, that hand of love, and bring that boy out of the way of trouble. Amen. Sure. I say thank God. And you are to thank God. Everybody don't have it, but you're to thank God for a mom and dad that cares. You're to thank God for a mom and dad that when the devil's trying to destroy your life, mom and dad's over there praying. And when the devil has set some fires up and some water, some traps and snares in your life, you got a mom and dad over there praying and they care for your soul and they're keeping you from the pit and they're keeping you out of harm's way. I'm telling you, if you ain't got a mom and dad that does it, you ought to stop and rejoice twice as much that you got some Christian friends, that you got a pastor, that you got a preacher, that you got a neighbor, somebody that loves you enough outside of mom and dad to pray for your soul and to help you stay out of trouble.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Thank God for people that pray for us. Brother Pat's been dead for 2 weeks. And I was at Faith Baptist Camp this week, and I kid you not, I can tell the old man ain't praying for me anymore. I can pray that he's not, I can tell he's not down there in Mississippi calling my name out to God. I can feel that missing in my life. I can feel as Zach were one of those that prayed faithfully for me has gone on to be with the Lord, and they probably ain't but a couple more that even does it. But I'm telling you, I want to thank God that we ought to have more of a desire how to pray for people and keep them out of the fires the devil sets for them. Make our petitions known unto God. I can't think of a person sitting in this building today that don't have somebody praying for them. Not a person sitting in this building today that doesn't have somebody, a mom and dad, a friend, a preacher, somebody, and more than likely, multiple people praying for you. Thank God. Thank God. We're not self-made somebodies. Just imagine if you get saved. Ain't it good when young folks get saved and get right with God? This old boy been a burden to his mom and dad for years because of them unclean spirits. Can I tell you what's wrong with 99% of these youngins today and maybe 100 unclean spirits? The biggest majority that the biggest problem we got to deal with, we think it's this and that and the other, but I'm telling you, all that is just the tentacles off of the real problem. The real problem is they got some unclean spirits. We deal with them when Jesus dealt with people. The first thing he dealt with was them unclean spirits. Amen. I'm gonna tell you what an unclean spirit is to a mom and dad that love God. It's a burden, son. It's troublesome. It's worrisome. But when that boy and that girl get saved by the grace of God, ain't it good to see God smile on that family? Mom and dad get to go. I'm telling you, but thank God. Can I say this to you this morning? You saved or not saved, you realize how God can build a sweet relationship between a father and a son. I mean, whether they're saved or not, if one of them saved and loves God and the other one's trying to do right, saved or not, God bless them. That's right. God bless them. He'll help them. And, amen, son. Can you imagine how much better it is if that person gets saved, the fellowship between that good old mom and that good old dad and that preacher and that brother in the Lord and them people that speak. Can you imagine the fellowship that you can have with Jesus Christ? It's wonderful. Well, here's the thing that I noticed in the text. Verse 24, I believe one of the biggest hindrances we face today is this problem of unbelief. I'm going to try to wrap it up. I'm going to cut off most of it. I'm going to try to wrap it up. That old boy, this is what he said. He said, and straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Ladies and gentlemen, the greatest hindrance in any life today is this hindrance of unbelief. I'm going to tell you something. We say that we believe in Jesus. We say that we believe that word. And ever since I was a little bitty boy, I mean old enough, Caitlin's age, to acknowledge Jesus Christ and the little Moses figure on the flannel graph board and Noah in his ark, I've always believed that. I've always accepted that. That's always been fine with me. I'm telling you something, before I even went to school, I'd get my family, when they got off the school bus, my cousins and whoever would sit there and listen to me, and I would take that, I would take a wedge, a wood splitting wedge, and stand by a cut off tree and preach on Calvary to my family. I mean, I wasn't even in school. I'd wait to get off the bus and try to preach Calvary to them. How to nail Jesus to the cross. Use that old log splitting wedge. They'd sit on the picnic table. And it was all fun and games, but I'm going to tell you, bud, I believed it. But I would have died and went to hell without Jesus Christ. Some boy said, Lord, I believe. I'm going to tell you what we ought to do. We're maybe focus on some of our belief. We say we believe, but there's something that's hindering us from getting to God. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. There's something that's hindering. I wish I had the answers. I do. Sometimes it's people. Sometimes it's unbelief. Sometimes just a number of things that was in these people's way. If you start looking at these people through the gospel, God said they had all kind of hindrances in their way. Maybe somebody else didn't have a burden. Maybe somebody else was a problem and kept them from it. Maybe it's unclean spirits. Maybe it's unbelief. Whatever it may be. How much time are you willing to spend with God to find out what it is? How much time are you willing to spend with God? I mean, I got a son that's not here today. Ain't no more right with God than a goat, son. I need to spend some time in prayer over him. I mean, my heart breaks sometimes when I think about Jake. I mean, my heart just absolutely breaks. I mean, I just wish to God that they would get right and walk right and have fellowship with God and the right fellowship with mom and dad. A family unit walking in the spirit. We believe in heaven and hell. We believe in the Bible. We believe in Calvary. We believe in the resurrection. But I'm going to tell you something. I just didn't mention a thing that the devil himself doesn't believe. Everything I just said, the devil believes. I want you to know I believe that stuff my whole life, and I would have even fought for it. But understand this, there's only one person here today. There's only one person here today that was at Calvary. Matthew, there's a person that's in this building today that was at Calvary when they crucified Jesus. He witnessed his act. He seen the soldiers as they pierced him inside. He saw it when they put their crown of thorns on him. He was there. He's here. He saw him spit the. He saw him take the bit. He saw him smite his face. They saw him. He saw every bit of that. He saw it when they took their fist and hit Jesus. And he held his head up and looked on the Calvary. He saw it when they beat him. He saw it with his guts. He saw all that. It means absolutely nothing. It means absolutely nothing. I'm going to be honest. That means nothing to me. Nothing. That's enough, son, to save the world. Who in the name of God wouldn't just run to this man and go, oh, thank you. I want you. Would you save me? Would you do that for me? What's needed in my heart and soul? Oh, God, have mercy on me. Thank you, Lord, for doing what you did. That person that's here that was there is called the Holy Ghost. Maybe one way Calvary can ever have an effect in your life. We can be a sad story. It is a sad story. Boy, we can traumatize and dress it up and make everybody cry with it. But until the Holy Ghost stabs you in the heart with that and makes that real to you, it'll do you a bit of good. The Holy Ghost has to bear witness. He has to come to you and make that truth to you. Show you the light. I once was blind, but now I see. And the same person that was there, God sent to be a comfort to us, and he's here today, and he bears witness of Jesus Christ, bears witness of that truth. And he's the one that made Calvary real to you. He's the one that will make the scriptures real to you. Hey, listen, friend, we can believe, but until the Holy Ghost does his work, all we can say is, Lord, help my unbelief. When the Holy Ghost comes, he'll help that unbelief. He'll jerk them covers off and turn them lights on and let us see it like we've never seen it before. Give us an understanding that we've never had. Give us a belief. Listen, what is that? Faith. That's that faith that only God can give. That's that converting faith, that saving faith, that faith that says, doubt, you don't stand a chance against me. That's what that is. Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, I felt like I flipped and flopped. I've just went every which way in the world. And I pray, God, that you can take the mess that I've made and, God, do something in somebody's heart, do something in somebody's life. Lord, we've heard a lot of things this week, and Lord, I pray that you'd take what you can and do what you only can do. Help us, dear God. I pray, Lord, that you'd give us a burden for ourselves, our position, our condition, our fellowship with our son. Give us a burden for that. Give us a burden, dear God, for others. Help us, dear God, to really see the need and have a care. Lord, I pray that you'd help us, Lord, to seek after you like never before. Jesus' name I pray, amen. Listen to me, church. I don't know how to say this, and I'll probably say it wrong. But you make sense out of it. Y'all are smarter than I am. We got a mess on our hand. We've absolutely got a mess on our hand in America. We really do, son. I mean, doctrine is being pushed out. And as long as it makes you feel good, man, we can get a shout. We can do... I'm going to tell you something. God's looking for somebody to be real. He's looking for somebody to get it right. I'm going to tell you something. There's a handful. And he never had nothing but a remnant. God, he never had nothing but a remnant. Probably won't ever have nothing but a remnant. Ain't you glad to be part of that remnant?
Yeah.
I'm glad I can see the truth. I'm going to tell you what I'm trying to say. I'm saying we got our hands full. We've got our work cut out for us. I ain't trying to be ugly, but when I get around a bunch of preachers and I hear a lot of stuff, including myself, I sit down and within myself, I go, oh God, help me to study to show myself approved unto you. I'm going to tell you something, bud. This world needs help. And they're not getting it in most places. They're not going to get it in most places. Are they going to get it from you? I mean, what they get from you, is it going to be real? Or is it going to be part of that little system, that machinery, just stamp them out, just punch them out, boom, send them on out the door. Zach said a good statement to me. He said, Dad, if you'd have been in church, you probably would have never got saved. Coming up the road. Michael, I was a good boy, pretty good. I mean, you know, I knew my mom and daddy was right, and I knew, you know, my mom and was trying to teach me right, and my stepdad, he was trying to beat me right, but before I got saved, I quit drinking. Before I got saved, I quit smoking dope. I quit smoking cigarettes. I didn't quit dipping and chewing. I quit everything but dipping and chewing. I quit cussing, filthy, talking crazy like that. And I can remember I went in a fishing tournament one time. And I forgot my cooler. I had some Pepsis and sandwiches in my cooler. Oh, we're just talking, okay? And I went, my fishing partner on that boat was my uncle. He had a cooler full of beer. And I got up there and it was hot, man. I mean, it was hot. And my old throat got dry and parched. And I wasn't saved. I was lost. But I'd been repented of a lot of things, so, before I got saved. He hit up that cooler son and he'd drink him a beer and all the throat would just, the devil would go, man, it'd be so hot and that thing was cold coming out of that bucket of ice and he'd offer me one. And I'd go, no, I can't. And I told Zach, I said, son, I'd reach down there on the side of that boat when it got two or three times a day and I'd reach down there and get me a handful of that old swamp water and just start drinking it out of my hand just to parch my throat, my thirst. Listen, I was a good boy. But I didn't go to church after I got married, son. I was a good boy that wouldn't be faithful to the house of God. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. As a matter of zombies, so much more. As you see the day approaching. I was a good JD. I couldn't go to church. We got that in that revival meeting, son. And though I didn't drink, and though I didn't smoke, though I didn't do a lot of them old things, son, the Holy Ghost healed me up. And God said, son, you're sorry as a devil. Amen. And I'm telling you, although I done repented a lot of them things and I quit them, I said, I'm not going to go that way. Listen, bud, God showed me how filthy and rotten and vile I really was, and it smote my heart. I couldn't wait for the preacher to shut up. I couldn't wait for him to quit singing. Pass me an old gentleman say, don't know what he preached, but I'm going to song him, son. And the Holy Ghost going, boy, he's just squeezing my heart. Pass me an old gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. While on others that are calling, do not pass me by. I went out there in them woods. I don't know what tree it was. I don't know what time it was. I don't know what day it was. I don't even remember what month it was. I don't remember none of that. But I remember a breeze from the other world. And I'm just telling you, my deep. I ain't trying to be charismatic. But there was a breeze blew through my soul that night. You said, well, what passing? I just passed, son. There was a breeze because I was passing from death unto life. Amen. And that night, boy, thank God, Jesus wrote my name in the last book of life. I couldn't take you to, I could take you in the vicinity, but I couldn't take you to the X.
I can't tell you what time it was, what month it was. I may be able to chase all that down, but I do know that my name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen. Now I don't have to try. All I'm doing is trusting. Amen. All we got to do is trust.
Trust and obey, ladies and gentlemen.
The old songwriter was right. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Amen. Father, we thank you. Pray that you'd bless the food that we're about to eat. Thank you for these ladies that brought it. Thank you for everybody that's here. Thank you, God, for Black Creek representing. Thank you, dear God, for Living Waters Baptist Church and the faithful few, God, that we have that are so faithful. I pray, dear God, that you'd set our hearts, dear God, in place. And Lord, give us a desire and a burden for others, Lord Jesus, like we've never had. God, help us to pray. Help us to have a specific time in the day, God, every day where we can spend time with Jesus. Lord, you can count on us being there. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. I pray. Amen.